Ashley Dinkle, DBH Media Specialist 2, and today's guest host. As you may have heard in previous podcasts, September is an exciting month. It's National Recovery Month, National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. It's also Hispanic Heritage Month. To talk more about suicide prevention, our guest today is Sonia Rubio, Program Manager 1 for the San Bernardino County Department of Behavioral Health's Office of Prevention and Early Intervention. Welcome to the podcast, Sonia.
Thank you, Ashley. It's great to be here.
Awesome. So first, can you tell our listeners a little bit about you and what you do?
Of course. I am, as Ashley mentioned, the Program Manager for the Office of Prevention and Early Intervention. And what we do is we're able to offer a variety of different prevention and early intervention programs across the county that help people understand a little bit more about mental illness and connect them to resources that are available in their area.
Well, thank you. And thank you so much for all the important work that you and your team do. So for those who may not know, what is the significance of Suicide Prevention Awareness Month?
That's a really good question. So Suicide Prevention Awareness Month really provides an opportunity for every person and organization to play a role in suicide prevention. And we can do that by a variety of ways, like knowing the signs of suicide, finding the words to support a friend or family member, and by reaching out and promoting local and national resources.
Awesome. Yeah, I love that you mentioned those. We're definitely going to touch on all of those. I was thinking about it in preparation of this podcast, and I have a best friend who a couple years ago, she came to me and she had told me that she had had thoughts of suicide. It was before I knew her. But when she told me that, it was like, okay, I really want to know what those signs are so I can be on the lookout. I want to make sure if she ever does have those thoughts that I know what to do. So what are some of those signs that others can look for someone who may be thinking about suicide?
Actually, knowing the warning signs of suicide is one of the most important first steps in preventing suicide. So it's really good that we talk about this right away. I'll also tell you a little bit about, you know, we have warning signs, but then there's also risk factors that may put someone maybe at a higher risk. So a warning sign is an early detectable sign that indicates that a person is at a heightened risk for suicide, you know, in the near term, meaning like within minutes, hours, or days, you know. These are typically observable. They relate to an individual's immediate state. So these warning signs, they may be behaviors or words, maybe even social media posts or changes in their attitude. So by learning to recognize these signs and how to respond appropriately is something that we can do to help that person. So there's some critical warning signs of suicide that are always cause for concern and should be taken seriously. So that would be like someone who's threatening to hurt or kill themselves, or talking or wanting to hurt or kill themselves, looking for ways to kill themselves, such as purchasing a gun, stockpiling pills, or researching suicide methods online, or talking or writing about death, dying, or suicide. And these warning signs are especially concerning when the behavior is new or it's increased or seems to be related to a painful loss or change, you know. So those are your immediate ones. Those you want to, you know, be able to help that person right away. That is a critical warning sign. But then there's also like some additional warning signs that, you know, may not indicate an immediate crisis, but are definitely cause for concerns, especially again, when the behavior is new or it's increased or seems like it's related to a painful event, loss, or change. So things like feeling hopeless or worthless or fear of becoming a burden, maybe a preoccupation with death or lack of concern about personal safety, or they're reckless, feeling trapped, a sense of being like on a downward spiral with no way out, increasing the use of substances, especially alcohol. There's also anger, irritability, resentment, or seeking revenge. Often we think of someone who is having thoughts of suicide as always being sad or depressed. However, sometimes anger and aggression is how some people express their pain. Mm-hmm. Withdrawal, isolation, maybe not participating in things they used to really enjoy. And also, they can also have a sudden uplift in mood without a reason. And that could signal that they've created a plan, meaning there's some sense of relief and there's an improved mood because now they have a plan and they found a way out. So really the most important thing when thinking about warning signs is trust your instincts. You know your friends and your loved ones best. If you feel like something is off or notice some of these changes, then you need to have a conversation with them and ask them directly about suicide.
Yeah, absolutely. And just speaking about that and what you mentioned earlier about finding the words, what are some things that you can talk to someone or say to someone who may be thinking about suicide or maybe showing those signs?
Well, first of all, I think we ourselves need to prepare ourselves to have the conversation. It's a really courageous step to ask someone. So you want to take a deep breath, you know, create a safe and calm environment. If you're going to ask someone about suicide, you know, or talk to them about suicide or what you've been seeing or, you know, then give yourself plenty of time so that it doesn't feel like you're rushing through asking them or finding out what's wrong. Also, be prepared with resources, you know, have those ready because you're, you know, depending on what their response is, you know, you want to make sure that you have all those resources available. And we're going to have to listen more than we talk. We don't need to have all the answers. Really, the most important thing we can do is listen and be there for the person. So starting the conversation might seem a little intimidating, but remember that often when someone is thinking about suicide, they're looking for an opportunity to talk about it. We're not expected to have all the answers. We just need to create the space to have an open conversation. You know, for instance, you could start off like, "Dad, I've noticed some changes in you recently that are worrying me. You used to spend time at the barbershop with your buddies, but you haven't had a haircut in a long time. Lately, it seems like you aren't enjoying the things you used to like to do." You know, that's kind of the conversation starters, you know. And when you get into talking about it, it's okay to be direct. We start, you know, sometimes we think that if we ask someone about suicide, we might be putting the idea in their head, or that if we bring it up, it'll cause it to happen. But in fact, the opposite is true. Talking openly and directly about suicide is the first step in preventing it. Again, often people who are having thoughts of suicide want to bring it out into the open, and you know, you're providing them that opportunity to do that. Also, asking someone directly about suicide allows them to talk openly about their thoughts. It lets them know that you're there to support them. It helps convey that you aren't afraid to talk about suicide and you can help them feel less alone. These conversations can often release a pressure valve that begins the process for reducing the risk by making suicide an issue that you guys are going to address together. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of ways that you can ask about suicide. You ask directly, "Are you thinking about suicide?" is the most direct way. And I know it seems, you know, pretty direct, but that's a way to say, you know, you're both on the same page and you're both talking about the same thing. If you ask someone if they're thinking about hurting themselves, that may mean different things. It's a little vague. So you want to be as direct as you can.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that you mentioned, all of that is so important. But being direct, because for me, my personality, I'm not a direct person. But when I think about my best friend that I mentioned earlier, if she ever experienced that, then I would rather be direct and know that I can help her if I can, and not just make it about how I'm feeling, but what can I do to help her?
And then start to go through the process of, you know, asking, have they thought about how, if they answer, you know, yes, have they thought about how they would do it? Do they have a plan? Because that helps you determine the risk level. It's like, how critical is their need? You know, when do they feel the most pain? What happens before that leads you to thinking about suicide? You know, understanding a little bit about where they're coming from. And then maybe if they've thought about this in the past, what have they done in the past to help support them through this tough time? And what if they say no? What if someone says no, that, you know, they're not thinking about suicide? I think it's still important that we still, you know, continue to encourage them to talk about their feeling. There's obviously something that, you know, you felt a warning sign or something that was just a little off, and you want to be able to show that you can support them, help them, encourage them, and remind them that you're there for them and you're a listener. You're not there to lecture or, you know, anything. You're just there to listen to what they have to say and how they feel.
Yeah. I also love that you mentioned, you know, the stigma surrounding asking someone if they're suicidal, that it could put it in their head and that that's not true. I think that's something that I used to think as well. Like, okay, if I ask this person, I could be encouraging them and I don't want to do that. So there's just so many different things that just prove why it's so important to know the signs, to have all this information. So one thing I've learned just by working at DBH is why it's important to use the correct terminology. So not saying that they committed suicide, but instead saying died by suicide or that they took their own life. Why is it important to use the correct terminology?
Because words matter, Ashley. When it comes to suicide, the terms, phrases, and words we use can have a significant impact on the way messages are received. Messages can either encourage someone to reach out or they can push them further from the support that they need. In the suicide prevention community, we're always trying to clarify the ways that we all refer to actions related to suicide to better support those seeking help. So again, you mentioned one phrase that's often used is committed suicide. And we recommend to avoid this term because it's most often associated with criminal actions. Framing suicide this way can bring feelings about shame, guilt, or even stigma that can be hurtful to loss survivors or maybe inadvertently reinforce a negative bias preventing people from reaching out for help. So, you know, we recommend to use died by suicide or took their own life instead if you're conveying that message. We've also heard people refer to a successful or an unsuccessful suicide attempt, but there is no success or lack thereof when we're talking about suicide. So those are terms that we also are trying to change.
Yes, absolutely. What are some available resources for someone who may have those suicidal thoughts?
Great question. And that's one of the things that we are so, you know, fortunate to have is that there is a 24/7 lifeline that is available in English or Spanish. So this lifeline is answered by trained counselors at the nearest crisis center. So you're connected to someone locally. And they also have an online chat service for those that would rather, you know, do it via text. And you're also prompted to be connected to maybe someone who's trained in working with veterans as well. So the counselor who answers can help sort out through your concerns and or maybe help you in how to have a conversation with someone you're concerned about. So think of the lifeline as not for just the person in need, but if you're the person that needs some guidance in how to maybe address someone that you're concerned about, it's a great place to connect with and to talk to someone. You can reach the lifeline by calling 1-800-273-8255 or 1-800-273-TALK. And that is a toll-free hotline. You can also reach the online chat at suicidepreventionlifeline.org. So you would put that in your browser. You can also do the 24/7 crisis services through the crisis text line by texting HELLO, which is HELLO, to 741741. Another resource that you can tap into is if you simply type in your browser, know the signs, it will take you to a website that will help you with a lot of the information that we shared today as well. And then it will provide you with local resources that you can connect with.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, I think that's definitely going to be helpful for a lot of people. So this is somewhat unrelated, but I will tie it back in. When I was in college, I took a self-defense class. And at the end of the class, the instructor sat us all down and he had said, if you take anything away from today, just let it be this. If you're ever in a situation where you need to fight for your life or defend yourself, just remember my voice and remember me telling you to fight. And honestly, like that's the only thing I remember from that class. So I should probably retake it. But it's just something that's always stuck with me. Like I can barely even remember what his face looks like, but I can remember his voice telling me to fight. So I guess kind of in the same way, what would you say to anyone who may be listening right now, who may be thinking of suicide?
I would say, listen, you are not alone. I know it may feel like that right now, but there are so many people out there who want to help. We're here to listen, be with you, and help you. Please don't be afraid to talk to someone. Don't be embarrassed to reach out to someone. Most importantly, what I want you to know is that you are important, you are special, and most of all, you are loved.
Very well said. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you for the opportunity to share information about suicide prevention. Like you mentioned, this is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and we focus a great deal on providing information and resources to everyone out there so that maybe it doesn't have to be September. It can be any month of the year. You know what resources are available, how to find help, how to connect someone to help. And this is the best way to do it. The more that we know about suicide and are comfortable about talking to someone about suicide, the better we are in helping those that are experiencing thoughts of suicide.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for your insight and for speaking with me today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Remember, pain is not always obvious, but we can work together to prevent suicide and to bring more awareness to suicide prevention. It's okay to not be okay, but know that you're not alone and help is available 24/7. You can also call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 or 1-800-273-TALK. There are a ton of resources. We will also put these resources in the episode description. Self-care is not selfish, and it's something that is so important for everybody to do. Let's hear from a DBH employee about how they practice self-care in this week's Self-Care Corner.
My name is Christopher Bailey, and I'm a program specialist one with Substance Use Disorder and Recovery Services. So more recently, a friend of mine wanted to join a gym. I agreed. What we've been doing is on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday before work, we'll get up at 5:30 in the morning and we'll go work out for an hour. It's made a pretty big impact already. It just feels good to wake up and do some physical activity first thing in the morning, especially since a lot of the work that I do is at a desk and I'm not really moving a lot of the rest of the day. And then by the time when I get home, I'm just kind of tired from work. And so I don't really want to do anything after work either. So it's really nice just to have someone who's willing to wake up early and we go to the gym and get a good workout in. It's easy to just kind of get lost in just how demanding life is. You know, there's always things outside asking for our attention. So I think it is important to spend a little bit of time and ask yourself what you need and see if you can take care of that for yourself. Well, I listened to the podcast last week when you had Tony Hoffman on there. Him and Dr. Kelly were talking about self-care for a moment. And he said something that I've heard before, but it just reminded me how important habits are. Because a lot of self-care does come down to habits. I was talking about working out earlier. So I made the habit of going to bed early so that I can wake up early. And I'm not too tired to go and work out. And, you know, it's just little things like that, little changes like that. They compound over time. It really makes a big impact after you get a lot of those small habits established.
Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Resilient and Real. If you'd like to share your story of resiliency, please send us an email at dbh-publicrelations@dbh.sbcounty.gov. Plus, don't forget to follow us on social media to stay updated on all things DBH. We have a lot of exciting things coming up for National Recovery Month and National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. Until next time, live life resilient and real.